Blog Talk Radio.
Audience on the World Wide Web. This is Don S. McClure, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this special and exciting one-hour show. If you want to get in on the dialogue, you can call me at 818-691-7395. That number again to get in on the conversation is 818-691-7395. Those are the call-in numbers. And if you want to email me, you can email me at McClureDonS@gmail.com. So again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and we're broadcasting live from Dothan, Alabama. Matter of fact, we're inside the Burger King. That's amazing where shows can go. But we're in a Burger King talking to you live on the show, and we're going to have a great show today. So we're going to take a quick break. Get everybody really in position, and we will be right back right after this PSA.
I never thought it would take over my life. I never thought I'd lose all my friends. I never thought I'd steal from my mom. I never thought I'd start dealing. I never thought I'd go to jail. I never thought my kids would be taken away. When I started using meth, I never thought I'd lose it all. I was a really loving kid. Family was always number one. But after I started using meth, my sister told me she was worried about me. I even ruined my mom's wedding. My uncle wouldn't let me near his kids. My best friend wouldn't talk to me. I ruined every relationship. I'm still trying to get my family to trust me again.
Meth can take it all away, just like that. For more information, visit methresources.gov. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Well, this is Don McClure, and we're back. And we're talking about the three principles that I believe really guide your life, which is discipline, patience, and consistency. Being consistent is one of the most important things, and patience, and actually just developing which of these tools that you have a strong use of, how you use it, and the ups and downs of those three basic words. Now, I know there are other things that people believe coincide with decision-making and things, but without patience, without being consistent, and without actually the due diligence of what you really need to think about, then you can't make good decisions. And we're going to talk about that. So, again, if you want to get on the conversation, call me at 818-691-7395. One of the first things that we want to discuss is the word patience. That has to be one of the key issues in a person's life. You can either be short patient, or you can learn how to use patience to your advantage. And a lot of times in our relationships, whether they're friendships or love relationships or even guiding our children, patience is one of the most important things that we really have to work on, because without that, we will end up making some bad decisions, or we'll rush to make a decision, or we'll rush to do other things that once we think about it, we find that it just wasn't a good decision. So patience is kind of at the top of the list. And you're going to find that a lot of people talk about anger management, what they do in anger management, but you're going to find that patience is going to be the main key of what people really need to discuss and use in their daily life. So let's think about that for a minute. How much patience do you have in your everyday life? Do you have a lot of patience, or you don't have a lot of patience? Do you use patience when you're in the grocery store? Do you use patience when you're talking to your loved one? Do you use patience when you're dealing with your children? Do you actually really look at how dominant that word is, patience? And so if you get to that part, write this down and put patience at the top of your list. And once you do that, you're going to be able to dialogue a lot better and be able to see where you're going in life and what you want to do. So again, if you want to give me a call at 818-691-7395, my name's Don McClure, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and we're broadcasting live from the Burger King in Dothan, Alabama. Now, we talked about the word being consistent. We just dialogued on patience. Now we're talking about being consistent. There's two levels of the word consistent. There is a subconscious use of the word in your everyday life, and there's a conscious use of the word. The subconscious being consistent means that there's a lot of bad habits or habits that you have that are conceived from you being consistent, which means that if you're consistently late, if you are consistently not telling the truth, if you consistently gamble, that's the subconscious part of you that's guiding you to repeat the same habits over and over and over again. When you have a conscious consistency, that means that you make a real conscious effort to say, I'm going to be at work on time, I'm going to do due diligence to get the things that I want done, whether it's being a writer or producer or you're in a daycare business. When you're consciously consistent and you recognize that you need to be consistent, that's the conscious part of you. And the reason why we call it the conscious part is because you're working very hard to make that issue work. So when you find yourself with bad habits, you have to think about that subconscious part, because that's where you put your consistent memories into play. And so you can't figure out, like, why am I always late, or why am I always doing something and making bad decisions? Because your mind keeps saying you need to replay these same things over and over and over again until you adjust them with your conscious mind. So those are the two points that we just discussed, patience and consistency. Now, discipline is one of also the key words. You could have great discipline or weak discipline. If you decide that you really want to be the kind of person that makes $100,000, $200,000, or whatever it is you want to do in life, the discipline comes into the training that you're going to have to do. You always hear me talk about the movie Rocky 1 and 2. The discipline that he needed to be a great fighter, not to win the fight, but to go the distance with Apollo Creed. That was the discipline that all fighters have to have. Michael Jordan has to have discipline to practice every day. You have to have discipline to play the violin. To get to be the best, you have to work on that. I know when I used to shoot pool, I had a brother that was really good. He could do any game there was to do. I used to practice every day, 3 hours a day, at shooting bank. So I was very good at that. That means that I was really disciplined on what time do I need to practice, how long do I need to practice, and what do I need to do. And when you apply those three issues to your life, you're going to find that you make much better decisions, or you're going to find that you're able to evaluate why you didn't make good decisions. If you put those three principles on the board and then add sub-issues to those, what you think are the sub-issues, you're going to find that you're going to have a much better outlook on your life. It doesn't mean you're going to make $1 million. It doesn't mean you're going to do a lot of things to become president, unless that's your desire. But what it does mean is you'll be able to stop saying, I wonder why I made this mistake, or I wonder why I keep doing the same things, or I wonder why I'm always in the same position. When you apply those three principles, you're going to find your life is going to go a lot better. And you'll be able to have dialogues with people, or if you're into counseling, which some of us do need, you're going to find yourself saying, okay, I really understand the 3 points that Don McClure was talking about on his radio show. That way you'll be able to really get involved with your life structure. Then you're going to be able to say, can I wipe out what was past tense, what I didn't do correct? Can I get on a more positive road? Can I look at life a lot better? And can I actually see clearer from the problems that I had? So those are the issues that we're talking about today. If you want to send me an email, you can write me at McClureDonS@gmail.com, or you can call me at 818-691-7395. We've got a lot of great information coming in today by email. I didn't know there were over 300 people listening to my show, so that's a good thing. And soon we're going to be in New York, broadcasting from Brooklyn, and soon we're going to be in Charlotte, also broadcasting. So we have a lot of things that we want to bring up today. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with the Don S. McClure Show, broadcasting from Dothan, Alabama.
If your toddler falls in the pool, you think you'll hear this. But what you'll really hear is this. It happens quickly and silently. About 260 children younger than 5 drown in pools each year. That's about 1 nursery school class each month. Put a fence around your pool. Place an alarm on doors leading to the pool area. For more pool safety tips, visit the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission website at cpsc.gov.
My son Casey was a bright, fearless 20-year-old with a boundless future ahead of him. But in the blink of an eye, he was gone. While out riding a skateboard, Casey fell. He was not wearing a helmet. Our whole family wishes he was. It could have saved his life. I'm Captain Kevin Raffelli of the San Mateo Police Department. Parents, encourage your kids to strap on a helmet every time they jump on a bike, scooter, or skateboard. Think of my son Casey and use your head. Put a helmet on. It could save your life.
A message from the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Well, we're back, and this is Don McClure, and I'm broadcasting from the Burger King in Dothan, Alabama. And looks like we're having a pretty good show today. I've got a couple of people that's going to come in and sit in the studio and listen to me perform my weekly information show on life. I think one of the greatest things is learning what you can do, how you can do it, and really examining your life to see where your mistakes are or where your positive points are. It doesn't always have to mean it's something bad. It just means that you can work on yourself to always be better. I know that when I'm looking at things and I'm trying to decide on why things are kind of helter-skelter or where they're going or what we're doing, I think that one of the things is I take an examination point and we get a chance to look at that and see where everything is going. We got a guest in my studio today. His name is Jackson. He's a young man. His mother's name is Suzanne Jackson, and they're going to sit in the Burger King with me while I do my radio show. Jackson looks all thrilled and happy. He's got a nice T-shirt on that says, "Say No to Drugs." So that's a good thing in itself. But one of the things about being on the radio, we can take the show across the country. Right now we're in a Burger King watching people enjoy their good meals and enjoy life and sit down on a Friday night. Technology has come a long way. So again, we were talking about discipline. Discipline, being consistent, and having patience. I know sometimes when you're driving your cars and people are in front of you and it's 5 o'clock in the evening and you just got off work and you want to go to the bowling alley or get to your girlfriend's house to do some gossiping or sit around the campfire. Well, it's kind of hot for a campfire, but you're always in a hurry, and your blood pressure is actually raising. So why do we talk about patience? Do you realize that stress is one of the number one killers in the United States today? So if you don't learn patience, then you're going to constantly have a stressful life. And when you're able to sit down and say, okay, wait a minute, I'm off work at 5 o'clock. Maybe I need to go to happy hour or stop by grandma's house for a few minutes and talk to her or go get my hair cut. And that way I don't have to be in the helter-skelter. And just take you some actual soft-playing music that you can play in your car and relax. A lot of times we don't think about it, but if you're playing a lot of rap music or you've got this beat going on, your heart is actually beating faster because your pulse rate is getting higher and your mental state is taking you to a much higher level. You're not as relaxed. So if you play some of that classical music that I promote by St. George or Antonio Vivaldi, play something calm while you're in your car at 5 o'clock, even though it's a long ride from Nashville to Memphis, or if you're in Chicago coming from University Park into Chicago. You need to get that patience going on. And believe it, if you play some soft, relaxing music rather than just constant beating, you're going to find your heart rate's going to go down, your stress level's going to be a lot better, and you're going to be a much better person when you arrive home. You won't be screaming at your husband or your boyfriend or your kid or your children if you have more than one. This way you'll be in a much more relaxed state. So I think that those are the good things that you need to do and work on and just actually try to make your life a lot better. But those are the things that are important: patience, being consistent, and discipline. And again, we're going to talk about discipline a lot because discipline is a real key factor in people's lives. We talked before, we were saying that the hardest thing in the world to do is to get discipline just to save a dollar a day. And I challenged a lot of you on that. I said, okay, give me a couple of months after my show. We still got 3 more months to go, but make sure you write it down and see by the 3rd month if you at least have $90 saved somewhere or even half of the 90. That's going to prove that your discipline that you're using to get to your savings to have a little bit better life so you're not always $10 or $15 broke. If you get that discipline in place, you're going to do a lot better. Well, we got 40 more minutes for the show. If you'd like to give me a call at 818-691-7395. This is Don McClure. You're listening to the Don McClure Show. And we're in Dalton, Alabama, right across from Winn-Dixie, as a matter of fact. I haven't seen a store like that in a while. But there's a Winn-Dixie. I kind of like Kroger's and Jewel's, but Winn-Dixie is here. It's a pretty big store. And I'll probably grab some ice cream out of there later on. I think I'm going bowling. I'm going to challenge somebody to a bowling tournament and see how good they can bowl. It's going to be my guest, Jackson, and his mom. We're going to go bowling and see who's the best. Jackson thinks he can bowl pretty good, so we're going to challenge him. But I'm enjoying the show today. This is Don McClure. And we're in the Burger King. I think next week we're going to be in McDonald's. How about that? Well, I'm going to be fat as a truck pretty soon if I don't stop eating all these hamburgers. But anyway, this is Don McClure. We're talking about patience, discipline, and consistency. We want you to think about that while we take a quick break, bring you one of our PSAs, and we'll be right back with Don McClure.
I never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
But I'm pregnant.
I've had the flu before. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old for flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
My diabetes, it's under control.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down.
I can't believe I used up all my sick time.
I missed a week of school during finals.
Now my baby has it because of me.
The hospital? Death?
Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Well, at least this time we didn't have a lot of technical difficulties. I noticed that this week, so that's pretty good. I'm watching everybody as they're doing their thing and getting sandwiches at Burger King and enjoying what it is they have to do. I think that's a great thing. I, like I said, I got a young guest in the studio. Jackson, and he's 7 years old, I think. Is he seven or eight? He's eight? He's 8 years old. He shook his head. Yeah, he's eight. And I think one of the most important things is when we share development early, like showing him what a he can have his own radio show and contact his friends and do other things, it gives them a much better life. So when we talk about discipline, when we talk about people being disciplined, how often do you think of discipline as just the rule of corporal punishment? A lot of times we don't think that discipline, when we use that word, we say, okay, well, I mean, I'm disciplined. But you have to be disciplined to achieve anything as far as success is concerned. So we can't always use it as the rule to say, I'm going to discipline my child. Discipline is even in you having a diet. If you're not disciplined enough to make sure that you follow the diet correctly. I know my discipline is kind of weak when it comes to working out at the health club. Sometimes I'll go into the health club on a Monday, then I'll skip Wednesday, and then I'll get back maybe 2 weeks from then. So I've broken my discipline, which also means that I don't have that consistent desire to really get that six-pack that I want to get and be buffed so I can just show off at the beach. I think they probably run me off the beach with that little body, but I think one of the things that's important is, like I said, if you think about being consistent and disciplined, a lot of times you're going to find that there's other things that go along with that habit of getting into that discipline and being consistent, whether it's saving money for that new car you want, that new house. Discipline is a really, really important tool. I hope you can hear me clearly this week. We're broadcasting from Dalton, Alabama, and I'm really enjoying this show. It's kind of like a sit back and a what they call a fireside chat. I always think of my guys, Kid Koppel and guy's last name Sawyer. I just think that they're just phenomenal when it comes to television. And pretty soon our show is going to be able to be seen live. You'll be able to actually cut on your Skype, because we'll have our video cameras, and you'll be able to see into the studios where we are and actually see some of the people we're talking to. So that's going to be amazing. Technology at its best. But right now you're listening to Donis McClure on the Donis McClure Show. And we're 37 minutes into the show. We have 30 minutes left, actually a lot less than 30 minutes. So if you want to give me a call, you can, or send me an email at McClure.S@gmail.com. Technology at its best. So we talked about two of the principles, being consistent and disciplined. We know that we also talked about patience. Again, those are the three highlight issues in your life. And whether you agree or disagree, you have to have something in those three areas. Now, I call it the 90% theory, which means that you've got 30% of each of those that you have to operate with. And then there's that short percentage that's left where you just decide on how you want to deal with those. But if you think about it and write it down and say to yourself, okay, how much discipline do I really have and how consistent am I with the decisions that I make? Now, let's talk about bad decisions for a minute. You can actually be consistently, subconsciously making the same bad habit every day. Let's say you're not supposed to eat salt, but you like salt. You go to the restaurant or you don't check the labels that's in the grocery store. You see the packages that you like, whether it's the oatmeal cookies and things like that. But you say to yourself, well, I'm watching my salt diet. But you actually aren't, because you're saying, well, what's going to override that thought is the enjoyment and the flavor of what you desire. Well, you have to become consistent and get some discipline to say, even though it tastes good to me, my taste buds can't overrule what it is I'm trying to deal with. So you have to make a conscious effort to say, all right, I'm going to have to change the way I do things if I don't want high blood pressure. So that's why I say to you to examine that. A lot of times the things that we really like, I used to have consistent headaches from eating a lot of eggs. And I used to enjoy two eggs in the morning or maybe three eggs and a steak. And then when I started examining why I was having all these headaches, I was saying to myself, okay, something's got to give. And I started writing down what I eat, how it affects me, and whether or not I can do a lot of strawberries or whether I could get into bananas. And what I found was the eggs was what was giving me a really bad headache. Maybe it was too high in cholesterol. So that's why I say again, you have to take a look at discipline and say, okay, I need to get off that. No matter where I go, when someone says, oh, you want a couple of eggs for breakfast or something? You go like, no, no, don't think I'll have those. I mean, I miss them. I would like to have them. But I actually have to get off of the eggs. So that having that discipline is going to play a big role. Now we're going to talk about some of the ills. If, let's say, you gamble or you drink a lot, you're going to have to get the discipline to break that or at least cut it down so that you don't become an alcoholic, because that's a terrible way to live life, and you're letting something called substance control your life, which means that you're out of control. So when you deal with that, you have to say, okay, look, I'm going to have to get some help, and after I get the help, I'm going to have to break this, which means you're going to have to consistently go to counseling, and you're going to have to be very diligent about that to get the help you need. So that's why I brought up those three words. They're good words to use every day if you write them down, like when people listen to my show and we talk a lot about just life in general. We always try to depart some information that will really help you. And I think so far, a lot of people have written me. Like I said, I didn't know I had 300-plus people listening to my show, which is really good. For the Internet, we're on blogtalkradio.com. And this is Don S. McClure, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. I kind of like saying my name, too. That's one of the things that I like about having your own show, kind of like Johnny Carson and stuff like that, when they say it's Johnny Carson. It's a good feeling. So I'm always going to be consistent about saying my name. But I need to get some discipline about it, I guess, so people don't think I'm egotistic or something. And that's funny to me. But when you have self-pride, I think you really enjoy yourself. And most people know I'm just kidding. Well, it's 32 minutes into the show. I hope you're all at home safely. We're on Central Time. And when we get to the East Coast, we will be on Eastern Time. But it will still be the same time frame for you guys. So you can listen to the show at any time, 7 o'clock like Chicago, or 8 o'clock in New York, and even 5 o'clock in Las Vegas. So those are the three time frames, and you can tune in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Don S. McClure. That's one of the good things about being on a radio show. Now, last week we talked about the different things we learn from movies and how those movies affect our lives and our thoughts. And we played a piece that we were really, really impressed with, which was called St. George. And it talked about his birth date, how he influenced France. And we're going to play a little bit of that again, because it fits into how he was very disciplined. And his father had a lot of patience for him to become one of the top fencing artists in France. And again, even though he ended up in prison, he wrote such a dynamic letter over and over and over again until they finally let him out of prison, demanding that he had given a lot to France. So we're going to play a quick clip from that, and then we'll be right back. This is Don S. McClure. This is the St. George.
The year is 1793. The French Revolution has collapsed into chaos. And one of France's greatest musicians is jailed. The son of a slave, Le Chevalier de Saint-Georges, rose to become one of France's most popular heroes. But here in prison, the legacy of a man who has been called Le Mozart Noir will be lost to history. Saint-Georges is a man of remarkable achievements. Europe's greatest fencer, a renowned violinist, and a composer who influenced Mozart. Tragically, his music will not be heard for another 200 years.
Now, that's the thing that we talk about, St. George. And it took 200 years for people to finally start to recognize his music. What I like about being consistent and thinking about patience, I'm sure that as he's up in heaven or wherever he is, he's looking down saying, you know, one day people are going to play my music. And that's patience. And it's kind of a stretch, but the point is that when you are good at something, you may not win at that thing that you do or that product you create or that song you write. You may not get it right away. But if you stick with it, eventually, even after you're gone, by Alexandre Dumas, I like a lot of his films, your worth will be seen by the world. So the patience you have to have, even when you're not winning, you have to put that into play. If not, you're going to constantly be struggling with when is your time going to come. And sometimes your time comes when you least expect it or you're not here. Somebody else may pick up what you've done, like a painting. They may say, you know, this painting is really good, and I want to promote it and place it in my office or my home. And you may not be around, but people will admire your work when you stay consistent to the arts, when you keep promoting. I mean, when you think about consistency, look how far we've come as a race. I mean, we've been consistent with becoming free and being free-thinking people and doing things. Now we just need to pump up the volume, as they say, and say, how much better can we make this? Because we're already allowed to do so many great things. So now we need to change the way that we actually think and do even better things, which comes from the discipline that we have to have. You can't relax and say, well, we've gotten this far, life's okay, or life's not okay. We have to stay on that legacy. We have to stay consistent with trying to make a better world for everybody. And everybody knows how I feel about that. Our culture deserves the best. We need to work on it. And we need to really put forth even more effort so that people can advance and get even better opportunities than what we had, even though we have a lot of opportunities. We're able to write now. We're able to write books. We're able to produce songs, but we still need to do more. It's still amazing to me how, as far as we've come in politics to the president, we still almost have only one black governor. So when you think about that, look how far we've came. Now, we've got to become more consistent with voting. We've got to become more consistent with saying, why do we only have one? I mean, we have a president, we have senators, we have congressmen, but yet one of the major seats that controls our states and what they do and the laws that we get from those states, we still have one African-American governor. Actually, we've only had three in the history of this country. So when you think about the 200-300 years that the country's been around, and then you evaluate by percentages and you say, okay, you do have a black president, and that's a good thing. But imagine if we had more chiefs of staff. Imagine if we had more local attorney generals. We went from 300 African-American mayors to over 500, but yet we still only have very few black governors. So we've got to take a consistent look at that, and that's where the word consistency comes into play. Put it on the table. Examine it. See where we are and how we can improve the things that we do. Otherwise than that, we keep saying that we've advanced, and then there's certain areas where we can't control anything. And the governor is a very important position in the state. So not only should we look to the federal level, but we've got to start looking at the local level. We know we have black mayors. We've got them, a lot of them in Texas. We have a lot of them in Arkansas. But if we don't start to gain more governors who work directly with the senators and congressmen in the president's office, we've got to do a better job of getting our young people to be consistently going after positions like that. And even if they don't win the election, just knowing that they want to try. It would be beautiful to see a young black woman say, I'm going to run for the governor of New York. I'm going to be the governor of Michigan. I'm going to be the governor of Illinois. I mean, when you think about the history of what we present and how we get our young people to think, we've got to start to offer more and more opportunities that they could shoot for. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but each year when we have these elections, every time that we roll around, every 4 years or 8 years, we're not grooming enough young people to say, you know what, why can't this young female attorney or why can't this young school teacher become the next governor of the state of Tennessee or the governor of the state of Mississippi or even the governor of Alabama? We get those positions and some of the governors last for year after year after year, and then we complain. And it's not their fault that they're in office. It's just that we don't challenge that. Sometimes we get the fear. But we have to be consistent to break that fear. So we've got to work on that over and over and over again until we become really good and teach people that to be consistent, to have patience. If you don't win this election, I know when Harold Ford ran, he did a great job at becoming our congressman, and then he tried to run for the Senate. And even though he didn't make it, I mean, he gave it his all in all. We had Harold Washington in Chicago. He first ran for mayor, and he didn't win. But he hung in there, and his second time out, he did win. I mean, we had people like Carol Moseley Brown. So when you look at our track record, we've done a lot. Now, how do we get that information to our young people, people like Jackson, people that are out there? How do we start them at the age that they are now and say, listen, we demand that you get better grades in school, that you become somebody, that you really work hard to make your family proud and to make yourself proud? That's going to be the most important key, because when he turns 20 and 30 and 40, he's going to look back and say, there were people telling me they didn't expect anything less than for me to be the best that I could be. And how do you know he won't end up being the governor of Alabama or even the president? We have to work on these things and get our people to actually see where we can go and forget about that we didn't do it. You keep hearing the stories about we don't work together, and you keep hearing the stories about we're crabs in the barrel. You have to relieve those stories. It's going to happen in any culture anyway. But what you have to do is say to yourself, okay, maybe we did have crabs in the barrel, but what do we do today? My mom used to have a saying that you can't cry over the spilled milk. It's on the floor. She said the best thing you could do is get it up because you already know it's spilled. So if we know we don't have a strong base in the political field, what do we do about that? I don't see 150 young black women saying, I want to be governor. I don't see 150 Puerto Rican women saying, you know, I'm going to be the next governor of whatever state I'm in, New Jersey, New Hampshire, whatever it is. And the amazing part is being consistent means learning what opportunity is out there. It would be nice if we developed more and more young students with foreign language so that they could work at the embassy and maybe leave the embassy and then work at the UN. But if we don't present that and be consistent with presenting opportunities, what do we expect? So my number is 818-691-7395. This is Don McClure. You're listening to the Don McClure Show, and we are broadcasting live from Dalton, Alabama. We're in the Burger King, watching people eat and enjoy their meals, and it's multicultural. I see young, old, different people. Jackson seems to be taking interest in my computer board, so that's a good thing. Maybe one day you'll be my engineer. You never know. But in the meantime, I think one of the most important things is getting us to think and share more knowledge, being consistent with sharing. You can't know everything. And sometimes just giving up some information may help somebody else. So we're going to take a quick break. I'll be back. This is Don S. McClure, and we're going to play my favorite PSA. I like this one about the flu. It's pretty good.
I never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
but I'm pregnant.
I've had the flu before. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old for flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
My diabetes, it's under control.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down.
I can't believe I used up all my sick time.
I missed a week of school during finals.
Now my baby has it because of me.
The hospital? Death?
Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, as I tell people, I'm moving back to Chicago, so I guess I better pay attention to the flu because it's cold up there. I don't want to get the flu. But as I see it, patience, discipline, and being consistent. You can either take it to the left and have a lot of problems, or you can take it to the right and enjoy your life a lot better. But you're going to have to examine those three issues in your life, put them on the board, whether you're consistently going to church or you're not consistently going to church, or you're consistently saying, something I heard is not correct. But when you use those three words, and I'm serious, if you write them down and say to yourself, and let me look at my checkbook, I'm consistently writing these checks that seem to be bouncing all the time. So you need to get some consistency and stop doing it. But I think one of the most important things is being able to see yourself, draw your image like on a board and put those three words next to you and say, how much do I apply this to? My patience. Like I said, am I patient with my boyfriend when he gets on my nerves, or am I patient with my girlfriend when she comes home late all the time from the beauty salon? You're like, oh, where the heck you been all night long? Patience is a good thing. And I think you need to have patience when you go to the beauty salon or the shop nowadays, because they take forever and a day to do your hair. So I guess you got to have some patience to go up in there or start a fight or something. You know, it's just amazing. But I think if you get those principles down and really think about them. Well, we got a caller. Let me see if I can get this caller online. Good afternoon, caller. This is Don McClure broadcasting from Alabama. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Don?
Can you talk up a little bit? I can hardly hear you.
Yes, I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Don?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. So we are talking about patience, and I'm listening to your program. So when do you think that we just, you know, should not have patience and just leave something alone?
Okay, well, that's what I said. Patience can go up or down. I think when you have patience and you evaluate it on a number scale, let's say you're dealing with something over and over again, you've got to look at patience like a scientist. Some scientists go 99 tries, and on that 100th try, they get it. So actually, as you're evaluating your patience level for something, you have to also evaluate what's going on with that patience level. Like a scientist, he may say, okay, I've got ingredient one, I've got ingredient two, but ingredient three just isn't working, or I don't seem to be finding the cure I want. He has to go back and look at his notes. You need to go back and look at the issues and see what it is that you think you've lost patience with or that you gained patience with. If you see that it has a level of 10 and six of those are good or four of those are good and the other ones are bad, you have to ask yourself why they're bad. So just cutting something off sometimes is not the answer. That's why I brought up the scientists. If they gave up on everything right away because they said, okay, my patience ran out, actually you have to look at the degree of success or what small amounts of success you're having with whatever it is. If there's no success, then, of course, your patience is going to say that's it.
When you finally run out of that patience, though, I mean, to what degree do you continue to hang in on something when you know that it probably is not the best thing for you? Should you just walk away then?
Well, like I said, you have to look at everything on the levels. If, let's just say, you're in a relationship with friends or relatives or a job. Let's say you love this job, but your patience is running out because you can't seem to get enough customers in the door. Your patience shouldn't allow you to just quit. What it should allow you to do is say, why is it that I don't have enough customers? Am I not promoting? Am I not? You have to examine everything like a scientist. What is it that I'm not reading in the formula? Now, if you're in a bad community, if you're in where everything's been cut back, the government says we're not going to give you any more money, and everything looks like they're passing you by. Let's say they run a new road past your daycare, and you know customers are not going to be able to get there. Then your patience has to say, okay, look, I've gone as far as I can go with this. Physically, this won't work. So it's all about measurement. You have to seriously sit down and measure whether you want to keep investing into something or not, if you want to keep investing in that person and that relationship or not, or if you just want to keep investing like in a car, it keeps breaking down. You have to say, okay, how much more can I put into this car before it's just bad? Patience is your measuring point. And you determine that by saying, I think I've gone as far as I can go, and I've evaluated how far I've gone. Now, sometimes if you jump too quick, like they did with Jennifer Hudson, let's say, they didn't have patience enough to understand she could lose the weight. So they said she couldn't, and now she is. So it's a measuring point, and only you know how much of the measuring point that you've given to say, I want to wash my hands of it.
When you're talking about patience, is there also, to some degree, that you're going to have a trust factor with that person, or, you know, if
well,
you
even
trust something?
Well, even with patience, you know, even with patience makes you you have to first of all read what you think you may be trusting or not trusting. Sometimes, again, like I said, let's just say you're at a light, you're at a red light, and this is your relationship.
Uh-huh.
And the red light seems to be really holding red for a long time. Your patience is running out because you're like, this should have been changed. Now, we got to look at the fact that the city times those lights for traffic. So late at night, they've decided the light can stick a little bit longer red. But we're not thinking about it. We just say, look, I'm sick of this light. So let's just say you make that left turn. Then the police lights come on. You go like, man, had I waited just another second, it was going to turn. Patience is at the railroad crossing. You think, hey, I got enough time to get across, and the train hits you. It's a measuring point. You have to seriously sit down and say, when I make that decision to cut this off or keep going, I'm going to get the answers for what I want, but is my patience going to be there enough? It's measuring, and only that person can either say. Sometimes you run out of patience, and you should have held on to it. It's all about measurement and what you really believe in your heart. Listen, that's pretty good. I'm glad you called. I've got another caller on the line, but if you want to write me on the subject, we can discuss it by email. Write me at McClureDonS@gmail.com. And thanks for calling my show. Hello, this is Don McClure. Well, I guess I missed that call. That was a really, really excellent call that I got about how much patience should you have and how much trust. It's really based on a measuring degree. Like I said, like a scientist. I remember they were saying, I think it's Alexander Graham Bell did something 99 times, and then the 100th time it became right. Sometimes, like I say, you're sitting at the light, and you say, look, this has been long enough, and you make that turn, and then the police give you a ticket for running a red light. So it's a measuring tool that you have to look at, but I still say, you have to look at the whole picture when you use patience. Like, let's just say you have a son or a daughter that just doesn't seem to be picking up on math. Your patience is running out. I'll give you a better example. When I was younger in school, I had a speech problem. So everybody thought they had ran out of patience with trying to teach me or show me or get me to speak. And the most amazing part about the results of the person who actually got me to be where I am today had patience. When she sat in the room with me, she asked me if I wanted to speak, and I said, no, I don't want to do anything but hit people in the nose. And she said, well, you can't do that, though. So she took her time with me, and she taught me how to relax. Patience was the biggest key that got it. While everybody else was screaming because they had ran out of patience, so they felt like, put him in this class because he doesn't seem to be picking up. Patience is where you have to gauge. You have to gauge some results. She could see that I probably could get to speak a lot better if people took patience. And I learned patience in not to take the words so fast, not to try to move things at a faster level. So what happened was I was able to see that if I slow down and have patience, I could do the pronunciation of certain words. So I think that when you do that, patience, like the person asked me, how much patience should you have with something? It's a measuring stick, and sometimes you don't measure it right. You run out of patience, and going around the corner, there's a movie where one of the gentlemen, I can't think of his name, he had a horse that he had bought. And the horse had a bad leg, and he was ready to get rid of the horse. But his daughter said, listen, keep the horse will win. He knew that it was time to throw the towel in, but he kept the horse anyway. And by keeping that horse, the horse won the race. So when you look at running out of patience, now, I'm not asking you to have patience with things that are just terribly bad. Like if your car is breaking down and you know it's breaking down over and over again and they sold you a lemon, then you do need to take it back. But a lot of times we run out of patience with things based on an analogy that we have, that we think we've given it all we could give. It's like a bad marriage. You know, if you know you're in a bad marriage and you've been patient enough with it and you have all the evidence and the gauging point that it is a bad marriage, then you cut it off. If you're talking about getting some bad food from a restaurant and you know you've tried them over and over again, just like with our culture, I refuse to give up on the African-American culture. As many problems as we've had with them, as many problems as we think that we should progress and do, you still have to have patience enough to say it wouldn't be fair to cut them off because Jackson wasn't there during that time. So he shouldn't be penalized for what we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So we have to have patience to say that there'll be more governors. We'll have more black presidents. We'll have more black vice presidents. We got 7 more minutes for the show. We're going to let Jackson say goodnight. He's going to say goodnight from the Don S. McClure Show, not right now. And he's going to say from Dalton, Alabama. That's going to be my key. I hope you could hear him when I tell him to say it. But if we don't give young people a chance and stop all this, they're not ready. That's one of the things that I run into a lot. We're always saying, they're not ready yet. They're not going to be the best. I'm giving up on them. I know a lot of people have had a lot of patience with me, especially with the projects that I work on. Some of them just have not paid off. Some of them have just been horrific failures. But if I gave up and didn't have patience to keep going, I wouldn't have written my first book. I wouldn't have working on my second book. I wouldn't even be working on my third book. There's those times that you run out of finances, you run out of support from people. People think it's the stupidest idea, like Coca-Cola. They just didn't have patience to believe in bottling, and you can go check it out in a book called For God, Country, and Coke. They said it was the stupidest idea in the world. They turned over the bottling contract over to the bottling company, and the company made billions and millions, and they got a small percentage of it. So I think that when you're asking me about how much patience should you have with something, you have to measure it. You have to measure it, and you got to have something to measure. And you got to come to the table with realistic measurement, not just frustration. Now, there's a difference in frustration and patience and measurement and patience. You can't always be frustrated with things. Sometimes you have to be able to say, am I making a decision based on frustration? Or am I making a decision based on what I've gauged out of this and I need to give this a little more time or cut it off? We got 5 more minutes for the show. This is Don McClure. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back. And we're going to be closer to ending my show in Dalton, Alabama. And don't forget, pretty soon, I'll be broadcasting from probably some deli restaurant in New York. Man, I'm going to be as fat as a truck if I keep eating all these sandwiches and stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. This is Don McClure, and you're talking about the Don S. McClure Show.
I never thought it would take over my life. I never thought I'd lose all my friends. never thought I'd steal from my mom. I never thought I'd start dealing. I never thought I'd go to jail. I never thought my kids would be taken away. When I started using meth, I never thought I'd lose it all. I was a really loving kid. Family was always number one. But after I started using meth, my sister told me she was worried about me. I even ruined my mom's wedding. My uncle wouldn't let me near his kids. My best friend wouldn't talk to me. I ruined every relationship. I'm still trying to get my family to trust me again.
Meth can take it all away, just like that. For more information, visit methresources.gov. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
And we're back. This is Don S. McClure, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. So, again, I really appreciate that caller calling in. And I like the fact that I've gotten some emails with questions that I'm going to answer after the show. And sit down and give it some thought. And our shows are about life and the decisions that we make. And they're not going to always be good decisions. They're going to be bad decisions. They're going to be confusing decisions. But the one thing about it, at least if we dialogue and go back and forth, not with so much of opinion as it is with thinking about the rights and wrongs of life and how our life is going. And you may not always win that football game. You may not always win that basketball game. You may not even become the top violinist in the world. But if you give it your all in all and use patience and consistency and discipline goes in examining where you're making your mistakes at and be disciplined enough to change those. Sometimes we all make mistakes. Sometimes we just don't get it right. But if we look at that and consistently say, I'm going to change my life and I'm going to look at what I went wrong at and not always be so quick to judge. Because just because a situation's bad doesn't always mean it's terrible. And there is a difference in terrible situations and just awful situations. We got two more minutes before the show goes off. We're going to let our little co-host here, Jackson, say goodnight to you, and then I'm going to close out the show in another minute. So, again, I've enjoyed the show. This is Donis McClure. And, Jackson, what do you want to say? You want to say goodnight to our audience?
Good night and have a great summer.
See that? Jackson said good night and have a great summer. I like that. I'm almost in the fall by now. I hate to go back to Chicago, but I'm looking forward to it. We got two more minutes. My show's going to be up. We're going to have some good things going on, and I think you're going to enjoy next week's show. You never know where I'm going to be. That's what a friend of mine wrote me. He said, so where do you think you're going to be next week? I said, Istanbul, Turkey. And they said, oh, my God, your family worries about you. But you never know. One day I may be in Spain. I know next year I'm going to Italy. So we're going to close it out. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And as I always say on my show, enjoy life because that's all you have.
End of the episode. It's gone.